brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, the 26th day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours, so start your engines. My engine is running a little rough, but I'm here. I screamed for over an hour off and on at the Texas Capitol yesterday in the cacophonous halls. I absolutely want to salute the 100 or so people that were there when I got there at about 2:45. Then I came back outside, and everywhere I went, I saw new people that were arriving, and more crowds even showed up over the evening. The San Antonio paper estimates over 300 over the day. I saw 100 at one time and more than 100 milling around in other areas. So unknown numbers. I would say conservatively probably 500 people showed up from all over Texas spontaneously because they were putting the phones off the hook or they were busy or they were going to voicemail at the Texas State Capitol. The whole world's watching with this TSA takeover operation. And now suddenly, we first had the report out yesterday. I'm just so proud of our writers and researchers. They got Senator Simonson, or House Member Simonson, Senator Patrick's letters talking about the feds threatening blockades, releasing the letter from the feds threatening the no-fly zone over Texas, and that's what it is. And we put it in an article, and today I tuned through a whole bunch of talk stations, hundreds of news articles, including national news articles. I scanned over in Dallas Morning News, San Antonio Express News, Houston Chronicle, Boston Globe, Politico, Forbes, I mean, just everywhere, pretty much unanimously against what the feds have done. People really see this tyranny. We're making the tyrants act like tyrants. And pointing out that, my goodness, the TSA says it's our way or the highway. We're going to stick our hands down your children's pants. We're going to grab you on the outside. We're going to fondle the genitals of Miss America. We're going to leave the borders wide open. And if you don't like it, we'll just have a blockade on you like you're Libya or like you're Iran. Well, those are just sanctions with Iran, but there is a blockade of Libya, an act of war. So incredible. And Senator Patrick yesterday withdrew his bill and then tried to bring it back to the floor when he thought he had the votes. He originally had 30 of 31 senators confirmed, and we've now discovered who the exact culprit is for gutting it at the behest of the Obama administration. And he's set to try to replace Perry as governor, he said, or he'll run for U.S. Senate with Bilderberg Group member Kay Bailey Hutchinson stands down. He is a former CIA government overthrow specialist, and he is the real governor of Texas. After the Civil War, because we had puppet governors down here, they set it up where the lieutenant governor that comes out of the Senate, the head of the Senate, has the governor's powers. Perry has almost no power, formerly was lieutenant governor. But Dewhurst really has the governor's powers, and he killed the bill. And Senator Patrick's on record calling him out, saying Dewhurst wanted to keep it secret. I went in a lot of their offices yesterday, a lot of the different Senate offices, and I could tell when I went in Dewhurst offices, I mean, it was Pentagon Central. I mean, I looked at these guys when I walked in, and it was, we own this country, it's ours, and that's the end of it. And Dewhurst has always been a monster. I've seen him in person. He's one of those people who looks like Ted Bundy, acts like Ted Bundy. He's the wealthiest member of Texas government. And when you're around him, he just radiates evil. And he is an Obama operative. And Dewhurst, no matter how much money you got, Texas is angry at you. It's in every major paper. You're going down, you Obama-supporting, anti-Texas Black Ops spook. You will not bring down Texas like some third world country, boy.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is Thursday, the 26th day of May, 2011. My voice is a bit blown today, but we are here live due to bullhorn-level shouting without the aid of a bullhorn outside and inside of the Texas state capitol. The front lines of the fight of the illegitimate globalist power grab via the federal government as they attempt to codify by practice and administrative law the sexual molestation of women, small children, and men, first outside the pants, now in the pants, now in the underwear, actually grabbing the genitals. And I have witnessed it with my own eyes. It's been videotaped countless times. Just 8 months ago, they were denying it in October, November of last year. Now it's all admitted and it's out in the open what they're doing, that they plan and are now executing the program to roll out on the streets of America, seizing the entire infrastructure. This is martial law in slow motion, now going into higher gear. They will never call it martial law. It's called security. And it is the end of the Fourth Amendment, the end of the Republic, if they succeed. All of this is being done ahead of the economy completely collapsing and going into IMF World Bank receivership to the very private banks that operate through those consortiums who have maneuvered the country to this position and put their corporate and FBI and former intelligence officer people in place over almost every major state and city. They control the narcotics traffic. They control the white slavery traffic, and it's all on record. They are an absolute 100% pure mafia that controls our police and military. But our average police officer, our average military, men and women are great people. I've met them. I know them. I've seen them give more money than anybody else combined to Ron Paul in the last election, both some of the major independent law enforcement lobbies, but also the military. And so that really signifies there that they are beginning to wake up. The problem is they are commanded by this mafia. It's called tyranny when this happens. And the Nuremberg defense the Nazis used, if I was just following orders, is not going to work. So you've got a decision to make. Now, I've got a million things running through my head, so many incredible issues that need to be covered, and I'm going to go over all of it. The economy is just accelerating into free fall. We're going to go over that. New leak feared at stricken Japan nuclear plant, just meltdowns full scale. Pakistan trims U.S. military mission as mistrust grows. Rick Perry's rethinking his pledge not to run for president. Yeah, if Perry pledges to do something, then you want to put your money on him breaking the pledge. Of course, he's going to run for president. If he doesn't think they won't use blackmail against him. He's got, well, I'm not going to get into it. Continuing here, we have more on the horrible tornadoes, and our hearts and prayers go out to all those people. I was reading a media report about a man caught on video with his wife, and they're running with the baby, and his wife fell down, and the tornado was right behind him, and he grabbed the baby and kept running, and I've had talks with my wife about things like that. You know, what if we were in the water and, you know, the kids were, you know, about to go under and I had to save you or them? What would you do? She says, well, save them. And it's the same way. But just to realize that our children come first. It's instinctive. It's basic. Any parent who's got their head even screwed on halfway straight would take a bullet for their children. So how are we going to let a bunch of miscreant, unauthorized federal goons do it? Well, again, if they can get away with this, they can do anything, molesting our children. So I'm going to be going over that. Also, it's in Wired Magazine, the Associated Press. Kurt Nemo did a big detailed report on it. Oregon Senator reveals secret government surveillance grid. Here's Wired Magazine. There's a secret Patriot Act, Senator says. And that's Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon. Folks, none of this is secret. You can read Patriot Act 1 and 2. It states it in clear English. If you go follow the U.S. code, it lists. And if you read the Telecommunications Act, as I've told you, everything is fed over government snooping grids with keyword. Fax, email, voice, radio. They've got listening devices all over the place trying to pick up all CB. They've got AI computers for at least 30 years, highly advanced now with incredible space to be able to basically filter everything. And the main grid is there to make sure that local police don't bust CIA bringing drugs in, or to make sure aircraft with little kidnapped American kids make it out of the country. That's been in the Chicago Tribune even. It's mainly for the criminals to surveil the good guys, which Skousen thinks there's more people on the dark side in government than not. Most people are compartmentalized low level. I'd say 20% are dark side, 80%. Just don't know which end is up, and are just like the general public. But I guess in positions of power, yeah, more than half are very corrupt. And we've done an analysis of this, but here it is. Now, see, it's all illegal, and they're doing it. Completely illegal. And none of it has to do with Al-Qaeda, unless it's trying to track other agencies if they're going to launch an Al-Qaeda attack to make sure those agencies are ordered to stand down. That's why FBI agents were in major newspapers after 9/11 saying it was as if Al-Qaeda had moles in the FBI above us. Well, of course they had moles. The commanders of Al-Qaeda were above you, at least the Al-Qaeda patsies. And that's why the FBI superiors and CIA superiors and Special Forces superiors in the Army would come to the people and say, you're not going to do anything. In fact, that was in the news yesterday, and even the Associated Press, military ordered and intelligence ordered to not track bin Laden in the month before 9/11, because they had Sybil Edmonds at the NSA, FBI translator for NSA communiques, and she came and said, Al-Qaeda's being run. Here are the tapes. They're getting ready for something big. They say they're talking to someone who's Osama bin Laden. They're running white slaves, weapons, drugs. There's about to be an attack. And they said, we'll take those communiques. Shut your mouth. Now, again, this is all on record. So it's time for folks to grow up. What is so hard to understand? A scientific mafia, a corporate mafia, is in control of the federal government. This same mafia is in control of almost every country in the world. Rogue countries like Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, Ahmadinejad in Iran, Muammar Gaddafi, it doesn't mean they're good guys. See, people think in a one-dimensional way. Either the criminals that run us are good, or they're bad, or Gaddafi's good, or he's bad. No. Gaddafi are your normal government control freak people, but nothing compared to the globalists with their scientific evil, who they don't run yet. There are pieces left on the risk board, or there are a few pieces left on the chessboard, and they're being wiped out. And then domestically, your farms, your ranches, your local factories, your jobs, that's being wiped out. In this corporate model of total domination, anything they don't own and control is to be destroyed and to be taken over. This is a giant monopoly game, and monopoly means there's only one group. It means total domination, full spectrum dominance, and they get these guys up into their criminal orders, their criminal organizations, and they all become fat and wealthy off of us, and then they commit so many crimes in the process. Both political parties, or three political parties in England, it's the same paradigm, same in Europe, they always set up hardcore secret police systems, crack down on free speech, crack down on demonstration, try to intimidate the public because they better. In Greece, they're stealing the pension funds of paid-in doctors. And thousands of doctors took the street, and the police just went in there and split their heads open. Boy, when you start doing that to professionals, these countries are going to get overtaken by the people. And it takes that tyranny for folks to finally wake up. Once the professional class gets their teeth knocked out or their kids abused, it's over, it's on, the real resistance starts. And so they've had the fake terror they've been pushing and staging ahead of knowing real resistance will finally physically mount, and then they're going to say, oh, that's terrorism. Well, if you believe that, then George Washington was Osama bin Laden. If you believe that, Patrick Henry was Muammar Gaddafi. The truth is we have psychological warfare terrorists using Madison Avenue tricks, PR propaganda, and they brag and publish books on this, you know, talking about how they've done it, Bernays and others, playing games with people. But once you know the con, it doesn't matter how coiffed Rick Perry's hair is, or David the Slimeball Black Op Commander Dewhurst. It doesn't matter how slick sounding Obama is reading off a teleprompter. It doesn't matter anymore once you know they're enemies, they're criminals, they need to be dealt with, they need to be stood up against, and they absolutely must be called out now. People need to stop cowering and bowing down and licking the boots and thinking of government as our authorities, our officials, our the excellencies, the honorable ones. They are the servants. They are the servants of the sacred liberty and freedom enshrined in our republic, the great jewel that Thomas Jefferson talked about. And when they are servants, they are honorable in their service. But when they are running around like a bunch of rapacious animals, wolves, chewing our guts out, rending and scientifically prosecuting a war against the Bill of Rights and Constitution, it is now confirmed what we told you 9 years ago, because then it was public as well, just not widely circulated, that the TSA is the domestic national security force. And you notice it's bipartisan, Bush, Obama, across the board. They want to make this a Republican-Democrat issue, so when Obama's in, Democrats will support the TSA, and then when Republicans are in, they'll support it. That's how they divide us in the left-right paradigm. I don't care if you're a liberal, conservative, libertarian, communist, Easter Bunny, whatever it is, you shouldn't want this to be done to you and your family. I mean, the Soviet Union, at its height, didn't, take Miss Soviet Union or whatever at a checkpoint and stick their hands down her pants. No one would ever, not in communist China. I talk to folks that fly there all the time, even touch your body. If they're suspicious or think you're doing something, they call you in behind closed doors and interrogate you. But again, political correctness, they're not making a mistake here. And, oh, we don't want to target certain groups so everyone has hands down their pants. It's designed that way. So they flip it around and say, all of you are guilty. But I'm digressing. Here's the points I want to get into. A, great job to the hundreds of people that showed up during the afternoon and throughout the evening when they closed the day's session at past 11 o'clock at night. Folks were in the gallery. Said traitors, treason, and Dewhurst made sarcastic remarks to the media, saying, I guess they don't like all we've done for them, and then laughed about Patrick and made some sarcastic comments about Senator Patrick, who's now exposed Dewhurst. I want to talk about the state police. I had a Dutch film crew with me, and they couldn't believe citizens marching into a Capitol and screaming at the lobbyists, screaming at the senators, going to their offices and screaming at them. Well, that's what freedom looks like. If you don't have that, you've got the opposite, what this country's now turned into. That's your birthright. And if you don't like seeing people behave like that and do things like that, and this, quote, civil society, when you have an outrageous federal power grab meant to break our will, meant to set a precedent where they can do anything they want. Extreme tyranny calls for extreme actions. And this was not extreme actions, going down there and showing them that we're angry and getting in their face and then garnering literally hundreds of TV stations. There were hundreds of TV stations there in the final days of the Texas legislature. And at any one time, I had 20 news cameras around me. And then my job was done in an hour, hour and 20 minutes. I left and I said, okay, all you great patriots that came out, you go be on the media now. They were all over TV, our listeners, and all over newspapers. And they stayed there till past 11 o'clock at night. Just absolutely incredible. to see the people there. Frankly, a lot of them doing a better job than I did when I saw them on the news. And there's no way to watch all the newscasts. There are hundreds of Texas newscasts, dozens of national newscasts, hundreds of newspapers. Another devastating blow against the globalists. Oh, they unanimously passed it in the House, 138-0. They had 30 of 31 senators, almost unanimous, and Dewhurst killed it. And we now know how Dewhurst killed it. And we won this battle. Oh, we didn't lose by them engaging in this treachery. Many Texas papers across the board, both Democrat and Republican editorial boards, are saying Dewhurst is done. Dewhurst, it's over. You know why? He didn't proudly get up and say, I work for the Justice Department, and I want to be a U.S. senator, and I'm a toady, and I've worked with Obama's people. He let senators know, and they're on record, saying, don't let anybody know. I can't have fingerprints on this. We're going to kill it. And he worked the floor and made threats and made promises to kill it and knocked the 30 of 31 votes down to almost zero with some of these cowards. Always acting like they're constitutionalists while they're the ones involved gutting things. Obama, Bush, Dewhurst, at that level, they're all on the same team. Now, continuing, ex-CIA spook Dewhurst sabotaged anti-TSA bill for Obama administration. The man who was instrumental in working with the federal government to sabotage a bill that would have made TSA grope downs a felony in the state of Texas was Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, a former CIA agent and establishment insider considered to be the wealthiest man in Texas politics. As we have documented, the anti-pat-down bill, and it was even called the anti-grope bill. It's see, our state just told it like it was, straight talk. The anti-pat-down bill was derailed in the Texas Senate, having unanimously passed the House 138-0 votes after the Department of Justice sent a letter threatening to impose a no-fly zone and actually over Texas and shut down Texas airports. The warning was nothing short of a federal blockade and an act of financial terrorism. It's an act of war under international law. But the federal assault was aided by a traitor from within the state, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, who only serves to amplify the threats made by the DOJ in communicating them to members of the Senate, convincing them to cave in. It was a total bluff. They were holding, you know, a junk hand. They claimed it was a royal flush. Call their bluff. Let them run a blockade. Come on, you terrorist. We know you're the ones carrying out the attacks anyways, you scum. Continuing, to members of the Senate, convincing them to cave in and forcing the hand of Senator Dan Patrick to withdraw the bill before it could be shot down permanently. He came up with the elaborate political ploy to kill the bill without any fingerprints, said Senator Patrick, Republican Houston, adding his fingerprints are all over it. Then he goes in and says he witnessed him on the floor, talked to everybody, he's the one. With DOJ hacks with him. Which, by the way, they're not supposed to lobby on the floor of the federal government. That's a whole other scandal. Well, I mean, this guy's a black op guy here to bring down America. What do you expect? You think they'll overthrow other countries to suck them dry and won't do it here? This guy is a voracious monster.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's a reliable source of information. All right. 50,000 unstoppable watts. That's right, 50,000 unstoppable watts. Add all our AM and FMs together, the internet, global shortwave satellite, it's billions of watts, billions of unstoppable watts. In the info war, ladies and gentlemen, all of our listeners, great activists out there ringing the alarm bells as watchmen and women on the wall, rallying free humanity against the tyranny of the globalist. Okay, let me just in a succession give you a report of exactly what happened yesterday here in Texas. The TSA announced Tuesday evening and sent lobbyists on record to work behind the scenes with Texas Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst behind the scenes to have him go threaten, via the letter, a federal blockade, a federal no-fly zone. That's what it is, over the state of Texas. No aircraft allowed in or out. And then if that was resisted, what would they do? Just so incredible that Janet Napolitano up there says this will not be discussed. Take our offer or drop dead. We are going to continue sticking our hands down your pants. And then, of course, what's coming after that, as we predicted for years, is a trusted traveler where you waive all your rights, get into a system, then they tell you if you're allowed to fly or not, and then you swipe a special biometric card and a retina scan. I noticed the lobbyists, the politicians, their handlers, they all get to bypass security at the Texas Capitol that they just put in a few months ago. And the same system's now going into the airport. So this is how they herd us into accepting it. So it's a total societal takeover. And it's outrageous. And so I was trying to call them live on air. It was going right to voicemail, even the general switchboard number. And I said, that's it. I'm going down there at 12:30. We had an hour and a half left in the broadcast, 12:30 Central Time. And I got down there about 2:45. And there was about 80 people outside. I went inside, another 60, 70, 100, I don't know, had already gone in. Everybody was split up all over the Capitol. When I came back out an hour and a half later, there were a bunch of people I hadn't met or talked to everywhere. More people arriving, cars pulling up. I'm told that it increased several hundred throughout the next few hours. And people were just there all day right up until past 11:30 at night when they closed the session, that day's session. Absolutely buoying, just fulfilling, because I don't like being on the defense. I don't like seeing the tyranny grow, the creeping evil, watching people cower, watching America lose its fighting spirit. It was so good to see old people, young people, black people, white people, Hispanics, Asians, everybody. Just a true cross-section of Texans, of Americans, with liberty and the same light of freedom burning in their eyes to shake their hands, people bringing their wonderful, dear children to the event. And we went in, we sat there and rebuked the metal detectors they've put in and pointed out that soon there would be even more and then that they would phase in groping, and that was the plan. We marched through, and I just yelled in my drill sergeant's loudest voice. And I doubt that's one gift God gave me. I doubt, folks, anybody could get louder than this. I mean, this was loud. It was shaking the building. I had sent as a probe hours before my show was over and left, an hour and a half before Rob Jacobson. He was three floors up in the dome, down a hall. He was actually in the chamber, videotaping the senators breaking law. And I can play the local newscast where they admit it's illegal, but they do it. And they vote for each other. When nobody's there, they're just running down the line. Voting. It was like 10 guys in there, 20-something gone. They were just all sitting there hitting buttons, just committing crime right in front of everybody. Well, we've been doing it for decades, so it's all right. I mean, it was incredible. People won't believe that. If you just type in Texas, representatives vote for each other or something like that, you'll pull up the incredible newscast. But we have footage of it, and we're going to be putting that out. We just got so much footage to go through. And before I get to the real big story today, the big breaking news dealing with this, I'm just setting the table in the background, but people have a full spectrum view of what was going on. It's important to look at things in a complex way. The media is always dumbing things down by design. They've got white papers on that, always dumbing the cartoons, the culture, the movies down to dumb you down. It's not you're dumb, you want dumb things. Sure, after you've been fed on poison for a long time, you start thinking it's mother's milk. But to make a long story short here, folks all over America are commenting in the news articles and on YouTube and all these different news sites going, I've never seen people act like this, marching in, screaming in people's faces, aggressively talking to their officials that way. Well, no, they're our servants, and they've done something horrible. A unanimous House did the right thing, 138-0, and the Senate had 30 of 31 votes, and it was going to pass. Perry claimed he was going to sign it, but he used his minion, Dewhurst, in there. That's Perry's master of that. Kill things quietly, then he claims he would have signed it. It's just perpetual with Perry. I live here, folks. I study him. He's a Bilderberg attendee. He's a snake, but I digress. Talks all the right talk, doesn't walk the walk. So there was rage. And even though I was screaming when they wouldn't let us into the Senate gallery and blocked us, even though I was screaming at the top of my lungs, traitors, criminals, sellouts, most of the state police were smiling and nodding, saying, hi, Alex. And when there wasn't a camera on, saying, you know, we agree with you. Well, of course they agree. They don't want their wives and daughters and husbands having people stick their hands down their pants. So even though I was like a wild rhinoceros bellowing and running around in there, the police didn't see me as the enemy. Even though, quite frankly, I was seeing the lobbyists, the entire government system, as a giant affront in my rage, they understood the anger. And now that I can look back on the videos and in hindsight think about it, and I think are the model, the way the state police behaved, of what peace officers and public servants are supposed to act like. And I've certainly seen bad behavior from the Texas State Police as well before, checkpoints and things. But this was what America is all about and why this country is special. I am so upset about what's going on in this country. It's why I don't have a lot of rallies. I don't have a lot of demonstrations, because my anger is real, ladies and gentlemen, and it is massive. And I get out there in these positions and it takes a toll on me, on my voice, on my diaphragm, on my mind. But at the same time, this was fulfilling, because even though they killed the bill, now we are exposing the evil. Many times in a war, you've got to do a probing action to see the response and call the enemy out, and then to build our forces and to show the establishment we're coming, with 20-plus other states moving to do what Texas attempted to do. And they will not succeed in every case, and there will be other states. I would imagine Montana, Wyoming, Utah, they're all moving, where they will call the feds bluff. Let them run a blockade over business. Let them try to shut things down. They will fold. Every time they're confronted, they will fold. Their position is untenable. It's indefensible. And so I just want to say to the state police, and, you know, I don't sit here and kiss up to quote, authority, because it's become a religion to do it, but it was fulfilling and good and genuine and edifying to see the state police, even in the face of a rampaging, and that's how the media described it, you know, Texans stormed the Capitol, Jones, you know, exploded. I mean, they've got a bunch of descriptions of it, and it was good to see the police in the face of that behave themselves.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
All right, I'm going to continue taking some calls from folks that went down to the storming of the Texas Capitol when the House did the honorable thing with a unanimous vote against tyranny. What else could they do against the groping of our poor, defenseless children being trained to be victimized by people in uniform and discrediting everybody in a uniform? The state stood up and said no to them. The police, despite the fact that I was behaving like a wild rhinoceros, were very professional and did their job. But you should. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. As Barry Goldwater said, you're supposed to be mad. This is a normal behavior. They continue to push because we don't get mad. Our ancestors, for far less, and I'm not saying go there, hung people, tarred and feathered them, okay, rode them out of town on a rail. Because old-timers knew, you let a bunch of scum in government start ruling over you, they're going to rob you blind. They're going to hire a bunch of thugs to carry it out on you. Our ancestors in every culture have gone through this over and over again. And your anger, your focus that they shunt off into sports and things where you care so much about your team. Your team's supposed to be your liberties, your freedom, your family. That's what all those energies are for. And I don't go out to a lot of demonstrations and things, especially where I'm around globalists, because when they're laughing and making jokes, as some lobbyist and some senators were doing, Kirk Watson locked himself in his office. I mean, I really almost start coughing up blood. I was screaming so loud. And that's why I did an hour and a half and had to leave. I know folks continue to show up in the hundreds off and on until the early morning hours. Now, going back to Jennifer, then Corey, Ronnie, Aaron, Mike, I want to move quick here now. Jennifer, describe, because I'm told even bigger crowds started showing up and infesting the Capitol with liberty to drive out the globalist roaches, the lobbyists that scattered like roaches when they saw us coming. Describe what you saw throughout the evening, people getting out on the gallery when they destroyed the bill past 11 a.m., past 11 p.m., excuse me, at night. What you saw last night being there.
There earlier in the afternoon, and one of the main things that I found offensive is after visiting Kirk Watson's office, a group of about seven or so info warriors that we all kind of found each other headed to the Senate gallery doors, and they one by one as we approached the doors, they let each person in, and then they stopped me and they said, "You can't go in there with that shirt on," and the shirt that I had on was a Tyranny Response Team shirt. So they let everybody else go in that was part of the group except for me, and I was told by the head of security that that was considered a protest banner, and if I wore the shirt into the gallery that I would have to be arrested. So I didn't want to get arrested, so I backed down and just kind of hung out in the foyer there in front of the gallery until everyone else came out. So shortly after that, there was a wonderful woman handing out all sorts of pens and signs for all of us to make make signs, and then we headed back down to the main foyer, which was right about the time that you were entering in, and of course we followed around with the crowd after that. But I think that the Tyranny Response Team shirts are very powerful, and that they're afraid of that message. So I definitely encourage anybody that doesn't have one of those, if we can have protests like this in the future where 50 or 100 people show up wearing those specific shirts, I think it would be really fantastic. And I'd just like to say that for those that have never done anything like what happened yesterday, the adrenaline of participating in something like that is unlike anything that you've ever experienced before. I mean, who cares about going to the Super Bowl or other things that may seem exciting in life? If you're actually there participating in the overthrow of tyranny, what can be more important on this entire planet?
And not going and just holding signs and groveling when they're trying to literally molest us, you've got to let these perverts, these criminals, these tyrants that want to break our will, let them know, scum, we're aware of what you're doing. We know you don't care about keeping us safe. You want to be able to get rid of our basic liberties. Everything this country was founded on. Jennifer, great to hear from you. Corey in Texas at the rally. Go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey there. Well, I just want to say I'll make it quick. You know, I was sitting on my couch yesterday, twiddling my thumbs, and I heard the call to go down and help out and speak my voice, and I hopped in the car and drove right down. And I just want to say to everybody that's listening how wonderful of an experience and invigorating that was. We went marching around the state capitol there and just letting our voices be known, and it just felt so good. I drove home just high on life and high on, you know, it all, man. And
every day can be like that, because we literally routed that capitol. I mean, they describe it in the news that the booming chanting just totally took over and made the bill passage actually have to stop for a while. The politicians the senators were scrambling in fear because they know they've been doing wrong. And those senators are such cowards that when the House did the right thing 138 to zip, they were all going to vote for it but one, and that's Dewhurst, we now learn. And Dewhurst, with the feds, which violates state ethics rules, the media is reporting, with federal lobbyists on the floor, went around and basically threatened people and said, "You don't tell anybody I'm doing this." but you don't do this or we're going to have the feds shut down transportation. And we have the letter as well. I mean, Dewhurst is unbelievable. This guy needs to get out of Texas, much less he should not be our lieutenant governor. I mean, that guy makes me want to throw up.
I completely concur, Alex. I do.
What do you think of Dewhurst now, though? It's not just that he brought the feds in and did this, but he wanted to keep it secret.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I was having the thought that, you know, I think that there's far more good people in this world than bad, but it just seems that bad people seem to have the hand on the power and can sneak their way in and wiggle their way in to control us, you know. But there's enough good people out there if we just stand up and let our voice be heard, you know. And that's what yesterday was about for me.
Well, it's important for everybody to call Dewhurst's office, but also call other senators' office and say it's going to be a litmus test. And let it be remembered that Dewhurst secretly sided with Obama to destroy the will of the Texas House and the Senate and to violate the Constitution and Bill of Rights of the federal and state government, and that he is a deceptive weasel who one newspaper reported celebrated after its defeat and made jokes. So he has a hatred, such a hate of liberty and freedom and honor that he's willing to pose as a conservative so he can sabotage things and sit there and lie and say he supported the bill. I mean, is that not just sickening?
Low as low could be, man. It is sickening. You're right.
Well, let it be known, David Dewhurst is a Benedict Arnold. David Dewhurst is a deceiver. You notice folks that support this groping openly, I hardly even attack them. I just say they're wrong and they're tyrants. But he is a spy. And, of course, he is former CIA and reportedly worked with Klaus Barbie in violent overthrows in Latin America. Ex-CIA spook Dewhurst sabotaged anti-TSA bill for Obama administration. We have all the footnotes and links to it. And, these guys live in a world of deceit. Well, we know they're liars, so the game's over. I appreciate your call, Corey. Ronnie, who's been calling for years, finally met him down there yesterday. Ronnie was at the rally. Tell us what you witnessed, Ronnie.
Well, for one, I saw Lieutenant Governor Screwloose years ago at the meeting of a question and answer thing and I asked him about the CIA, and he angrily shot me this evil thing. You talked about it earlier. He's evil. I mean, he radiates evil. Lieutenant Governor Screwloose. Anyway, are you there?
So you mean Dewhurst. Yeah, Screwloose.
Well, yeah, Screwloose. I mean, he's got to have a Screwloose to think he's going to get away with this delusion.
So what did he say at the CIA when you brought the CIA up?
It's a bunch of conservative guys, the Lake Travis Republican Men's Club, and he just kind of, you know, he just looked at me. He just looked at me with this evil thing. He just kind of, yes, but how dare you ask me?
It's not that he even was at the CIA. A lot of them are analysts, or you can look at their histories. He has a death squad history with Klaus Barbie, a top Nazi, admittedly, who was under the CIA control. And we have all the links to mainstream news in our article about it. So, of course, he doesn't want you to bring it up. I mean, this guy is a tyrant. And he thinks, because he's a smiley-faced fake Texan with a fancy suit, that we're all here to bend over, and that it's cute that pot-bellied pigs want to grope our daughters and sons. You know, Dewhurst, you're the one calling for this. You're the one pushing it. You're the one trying to basically urinate all over liberty. Well, we're not putting up with it. Let's go ahead and talk to Aaron in Texas. Go ahead. You were at the rally.
Yes. Thank you very much, Alex, for deciding to change your mind and get active again. And because I think you're a great leader, I've always thought that. But please stay focused and keep doing it. That's all. I mean, one time is not enough. Man, are you willing to keep on keeping on?
What do you mean one time's not enough? Fly around, speak to groups of people, been to hundreds of demonstrations, dozens of black op gun confiscation drills. I've gone to Bilderberg. I've been arrested, detained. And people call me up and say, "You need to make your bones, boy. You haven't done anything." And I appreciate you saying I'm a leader. Look. Here's the reason I don't go to a lot of demonstrations and things. It's up to the citizens to do that. It's up for you guys to be leaders. And that's why I went and did an hour and a half, and then I left. I said, I knew more people were coming, and I said, this is part of your birthright. I don't want to make it a cult of personality about Alex Jones. I want it to be a cult of personality about liberty and freedom and ideas, because ideas are bulletproof. Also, I get so wound up in public. I mean, if you were there, that you know that, I mean, it's a wild situation, okay? And also, I can electronically, in the time I go out and do a demonstration or something, and maybe have a little local media covered or something, and that's good for everybody else to do because in the aggregate it's huge, I can sit here and do radio, TV interviews, do special reports that reach millions of people a day who are new. And so I'm trying to spur the overall awakening. And if I am a general in the fight for liberty, which, quite frankly, one of the biggest generals out there after Ron Paul, then I need to be out there, generally breaking down the enemy operations, not always charging around in the field. I mean, I was a private a long time ago, and then I was a sergeant, and then I was a captain. And at a certain point, here's another issue, and when I have events or announce events or go to other things with a long-term position, that gives COINTELPRO a chance to get in position and try to manipulate it or deceive people or put provocateurs in, okay? Because a head's easy to cut off. A head is easy to politically discredit. That's why if I can spontaneously announce something and go do it, it'll be a success because they don't have time to maneuver their fake patriots into position to cause problems. Does that clarify things for you, Aaron?
Well, again, I just if you stay active in whatever measured way, it would be great. And doing the TV channel idea where you're like on a TV channel type thing, I think that's what you have going forward, right? That's really going to be a great idea. That's really the alternative media going more full-fledged with the full cornucopia of options for people.
Aaron, so overall, what was your view of what happened yesterday?
Oh, I just think it's the greatest thing ever because I know when you get these Texans riled up, they're going to do the right thing, the American thing. So I'm, so happy about it.
God bless you, Aaron.
I want to see action.
I hear you. Listen, well, that is why it was so empowering because we shook that place. We dominated the media. The media that was covering the House and Senate, dozens and dozens of cameras came, newspapers, and it's all over the world that people are resisting. And now it's in every major paper out there that I've looked at that Dewhurst is a sneaky little creature and that the Republicans were going to blame Democrats for killing this. Well, it was a Republican. It was Dewhurst with Obama. And so we've drawn them out. It's a big victory. Big victory. Let's talk to Christy in Texas, who was there. Christy, welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can, Christy. Welcome.
Hello. We were there a little while after you got there yesterday, and my family and I, my two daughters and my husband went, and a friend of ours, and came in and heard the noise and found you upstairs. it was just amazing. It was an awesome experience for the girls.
I'm told that my voice, but then all the chanting, literally filled the entire Capitol, and it's giant. Rob said that he was in the chambers of the Senate and heard us three levels down just taking over the entire chamber.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we've got some big breaking news with Dr. Jerome Corsi, his PhD from Harvard University, political science. He currently a senior staff reporter for WorldNet Daily, where he works as investigative reporter. Of course, in 2004, he co-authored the number one New York Times bestseller, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat, Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry, Regnery. He's an expert on political violence and terrorism. In 81, he received the top secret clearance from the Agency of International Development, where he assisted in providing anti-terrorism training to embassy personnel. For 25 years, beginning in 81, under course, he developed work with banks throughout the United States and around the world to develop financial service marketing companies to assist banks in establishing broker-dealers and insurance subsidiaries to provide financial planning products and services to their retail customers. Now, I like to have Dr. Corsi on about the whole banking scam, the bailout, the criminality. We need to have him back soon on those issues. Dr. Corsi is always very careful. And so when he writes a book saying, where's the birth certificate? By the way, available at Infowars.com if folks want to get it. Excellent hard copy with all the exhibits and documents. You find out this guy isn't who he says he is. He's covering up his history. They released that other birth certificate receipt, said that was the long form. Nothing else existed. Governor Abercrombie couldn't find it when he went into the stacks and tried to. Then magically it appeared. Then breaking here last Friday, Dr. Corsi went over the fact that he believes he knows who did it. And then now he's going to move to file criminal charges. And that news is up on PrisonPlanet.com today in Paul Joseph Watson's article. It's also at Infowars.com and WorldNetDaily.com. He sent me the actual Kenyan government documents where they admit that they can't find it and appears the record has been altered or removed. Yeah, he went to Kenya, of course, to start ferreting out this information. And when he comes out and says, this is a fake, it's been altered. Our people looked at it. We had other experts look at it. It's been altered. Again, I've not been a big birther. I've had other issues to cover. But we've spent time looking at it over the years because they spent over $2 million at the White House blocking releasing what they've now released. Now, we're going to go over all the latest news with Dr. Corsi for the balance of the hour. But before we go there, last week on this radio broadcast, he called out Donald Trump, who's a big Democratic contributor, big eminent domain supporter, socialist healthcare supporter. As Lou Rockwell and others have pointed out, if this guy's a conservative, the seediness of the penny stocks, the seediness of the casinos, I mean, we might as well hire, well, I'm not going to get into it. The point is that Donald Trump is a joke. And with all his slick salesman talk, America's like, we like him. Conservatives, a lot of them, we want him. He did this birth certificate thing. He brought it to a head. Then he kind of floundered around and acted embarrassed. Then he came out and did a bunch of cussing tirades he's never done before, tailored to discredit. And then magically, he gets the $60 million NBC re-up contract with bailout money from Bush, then Obama going to NBC. That's on record. So, of course, he calls him out boldly. Well, Donald had called him twice, wanting the book before it was published. He got it to him. We wonder where that went. And now he's got all his casino deals in Chicago, and Rahm's their man in Chicago. And so, of course, he calls this out. Well, the Donald called him today. This is breaking here. The Donald called today. The Donald's concerned. Dr. Corsi, thank you for joining us. Please reveal to us your discussion with the Donald.
Yes, Alex. In fact, I just got off the phone with him a few minutes ago. Donald Trump called today, and of course he, as usual, is pumping me for information. He wants very much to know what I'm doing next. And I said, well, you know, Donald, we published an article and WorldNet Daily, you should have seen it, about how the Kenyan government searched for 1961 birth records and determined that 1961 birth records were criminally tampered to destroy evidence of Obama's birth. He said, well, I didn't see that. I said, well, give me your people. I'll send it to you. He said, well, that's all right. I'll look for it. I mean, he is completely uninterested except to know, you know, what I'm doing, what's next. I indicated to Donald Trump, and this may be breaking news, too, now the criminal charges, we're working with a top expert in scanners, worldwide expert, who is preparing, will be reporting on it in WND, WorldNet Daily, hopefully the end of the week, maybe Monday or Tuesday at the latest. Criminal charges are going to be filed, criminal complaints filed with the FBI, charging that the long-form birth certificate released by the White House on April 27th is fraudulent. And I've been working back and forth with the expert on that. I've read the charges. They're very credible. They're going to be very difficult to answer. I told Donald Trump that's coming. So Trump, you know, if he's feeding information to the White House, he certainly knows what I'm doing, and I'm not hesitating to tell him. I'm happy to let the White House know what I'm doing. I published Where's the Birth Certificate with that title, hoping I could get the White House so frightened that they would release this long-form birth certificate, which they did. The president has now endorsed his own involvement in the chain of evidence, saying he sent his attorney out to get it, coming down to the White House press room and saying, this is my birth certificate. Now the administration rises and falls on the authenticity of that document. So Donald Trump, I think, I told Donald, I said, look, Donald, if you want to be credible here, I mean, told him basically he didn't accuse me or you know, badger me for saying that I thought he was working with the Obama White House, but I said, told him out direct, you know, if you don't want people to be suspect, Donald, of what role you're playing in this, then get out there vocally, question the document, say you want forensic testing of the original paper, long-form document that's in the vault of the Hawaii Department of Health. Say you want the Dr. Sinclair's records released. See if Ann Dunham was a patient. And say you want the records of Kapi'olani Hospital released so we can see if Ann Dunham was ever there. Family changed their tune. It was originally that Obama was supposed to be born at Queens Hospital. Now it's Kapi'olani. Let's see the patient records for Ann Dunham. Trump didn't seem interested in any of that. But he was very interested in knowing what I was up to next.
All right, I want to pump you on the Trump issue because we can get some key intel out of that. But for internet viewers at prisonplanet.tv, this is all linked up in your WorldNet Daily story. Also, Paul Joseph Watson's story at prisonplanet.com if radio listeners want to see it. But for prisonplanet.tv viewers, I'll show folks a document cam shot. Here is one of several documents that you sent to me a few days ago. Now your report's out today. Republic of Kenya, Office of the Vice President, Ministry of State for Immigration and Registration of Persons. This is the classified document you got them to release. And it says, however, there is no evidence within our records that supports this position. The information we in the ministry have is that some documents have been removed by unknown persons at unknown dates or are missing from birth registry records, thus denting the prospects of uncovering the facts of this matter. So it goes on that they're saying that numerous intelligence reports have suggested he might have been born in Mombasa, the President Obama, at the Lady Greg Maternity Wing of the Coast Provincial General Hospital. And they go on the letterhead of the government with the phone numbers there and say that it's been removed. It's been tampered with.
Criminally.
Criminally. They go on to say it's criminal. So this is a pretty powerful smoking gun here. And then if I was Donald Trump and you went on this big syndicated radio show and dropped the bombshell and it was read by millions of people all over the web, our stories, our videos, went completely viral with that interview with you last week. And then Donald Trump calls you up Tuesday. And if I was innocent and you were saying that I worked for the president and I was Donald Trump or that I was conduiting info months ago when you gave me the book, if I was Donald Trump, I'd say, Corsi, how dare you, pal? Or if I was guilty, I would just, ignore it. Or if I was innocent, I'd probably ignore it. I mean, those are the different things you would do. You wouldn't call up and just pump for more info and be nice. That's a pretty creepy phone call you got.
Obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Describe what Donald Trump said to you, how long the conversation was, how he behaved.
Well, the conversation lasted about 15 minutes, and Donald Trump was friendly. He was, did not confront me aggressively. That I said, I think he's working for the Obama White House. I've been out there on your show, Alex, very publicly about that. And Trump was saying, his purpose of the call was he wanted to know what I was doing, what was next. The story didn't get any traction. I told him about the documents from Kenya that we've been publishing in WorldNet Daily. The documents, I was there in Kenya in 2008. I've continued to receive documents from Kenyan sources. You see some of them right now. You're reporting on them. We've reported WorldNet Daily criminal tampering of birth records in the 1961 birth records in Kenya to disguise or remove Barack Obama's birth records in Kenya. And I thought that was an explosive story. Trump wasn't real interested in it. I told him the criminal charges are going to be filed with the FBI by a top expert. Again, Trump was interested in that, but I said to him, he went back and forth and said, Mr. Trump, are you going to get back into the story? I told him, people are saying, you got this big payoff from NBC. It sure looks like you dropped out over that payoff in relationship with the White House. And Trump said, even when you're as rich as I am, it's $60 million times two, $120 million, isn't chump change. I said, I understand that, Mr. Trump. Nobody's offered me $120 million recently, but you can understand where a lot of people think that compromises your position, maybe why you dropped out. He said, I didn't drop out. I said that the documents, I still want to know if the documents are real.
And that was a big problem. So Trump comes out, builds it to a head. And then right as it comes to a head, there's the big media spectacular to discredit the whole thing. And then we saw the next big stunt a few weeks later to then wipe that controversy off the map. Obama daringly gets Osama bin Laden. He's just so wonderful. And then that launches the next phase of starting a war with Pakistan. And the fact that Trump comes out and says, Ron Paul can't win. And look at these Republicans, they're pathetic. And the fact that he's given 2-1 to Democrats and hangs out in New York with Bloomberg and Schumer. I mean, it's so obvious that this guy, from my perspective, is a ringer. And you've got this government money going to NBC and then right into Trump's pocket. And that ridiculous preening peacock show, The Apprentice. And then he's on the phone with you wanting to know what you're going to do next. Very bizarre, Jerome Corsi. I mean, if you're a discredited kook, and he's been discredited, you think he would be fighting to continue to expose, but instead he wants to lay there like a possum.
Well, I said to Trump today on the telephone, I said, look, get involved. If you want people to believe that, you're still on the side of disbelieving Obama, then ask for authentication. Nobody has seen the original document. In a court of law, the best evidence would not be this electronic birth certificate the White House released. Electronic birth certificates didn't even exist in 1961. The best evidence is in the vault in the Department of Health in Hawaii, the original birth certificate, if it exists. And we can't see that. We can't get it subjected to forensic analysis. Said Mr. Trump pressed that case. He seemed uninterested. He said, if it got to be an issue again, he would jump back in. I said, Mr. Trump, jump back in now. And, he said, do you have any mainstream media supporting it? I said, As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Trump, I've run these campaigns before when I did Unfit for Command with John O'Neill and Swift Boat Bet, published by myself, Obama Nation, 2008. It was number one bestseller for a month. Didn't have a lot of support. Then New York Times ran a front-page article blasting the book. I said, I'm not counting on any mainstream media, and I'm not expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. But, said Mr. Trump, neither should you be expecting to get invited to the White House Christmas party. Get out there and pound this issue if you want people to believe that you're really on the side of wanting the truth and asking for where's the birth certificate. Go on the record. You don't believe that this is legitimate, say it's a fraud. He wouldn't do it. He was not unenthusiastic and not responsive when I made those suggestions.
Well said. For me, the biggest piece of evidence here, and I know as
and
a...
And also, Alex, he asked me to call him before we made our next move so he'd know what we were doing. I mean, the whole call was, what are you up to? And please tell me first before you do it. Now, I mean, I'm happy to talk to Trump. I'm happy to tell him what I'm doing.
Did he comment on the fact that you've called him out?
No, he never made a comment about it. Didn't say a word.
But you brought that up to him.
Well, I didn't say I'm out there saying it. I made the charge to him. I said, Mr. Trump, if you don't get out, I said, Donald, really? We're kind of on a first name basis at this point. I said, Donald, look, if you don't get out there and start doing this, nobody's going to believe that you're really opposing Obama. It looks like you're supporting Obama. And I told him that even with, I saw him on Fox News, I believe it was yesterday, Trump is saying, attacking the Republican candidate, saying he's going to get back in the race if the Republicans keep with such lousy candidates. I said, that sounds like Obama's line. Are you feeding Obama's line to the American people? He said, well, they are lousy candidates. I said, look, if you're going to attack the other Republicans, you're not going to get anywhere convincing people that you want to run as a Republican. Trump said, well, should I run as an independent? I said, Mr. Trump, if you run as an independent, you're going to 100% convince everybody that you're in cahoots with Obama, trying to split the vote of the Republicans so that the Obama wins.
Look, that casino owner, that good old boy, good fella, knows exactly.
Of course.
Exactly what he's doing. Now, this was a short segment, long segment coming up. And I want to preface this question now and then come back and have you answer it. For me, I think one of the biggest pieces of evidence you've got of this being fraud is not just the Kenyan government saying their records were tampered with criminally and expunged on Obama, and that their intelligence agency does have intel that he was born there. Bigger than that is that you were told 3 weeks before by a source inside the government of Hawaii that it wasn't there, now it's there. And you say you have the email evidence with Joseph Farah telling him that. That's not giving up a source. You need to release all that. We'll be right back.
If you leave me, I won't miss you, and I won't ever take you back. Girl, your memory.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are here live. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
I got some.
And if you believe that Obama is telling us the truth about his true identity and his history, we know he's been caught in lies repeatedly, and I guess you want to buy some oceanfront property in Arizona. To quote George Strait, we're going back to Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of Birth Certificate. Where's the birth certificate? Here in just a moment. First, some of our great sponsors. Interfood is a revolutionary 100% organic green superfood that's been a sponsor of ours, I don't know, for 6 years now. Energy drink with powerful nutrition for better health, energy, mental clarity, and immune system support. My wife just loves it. It was even voted best superfood by our friend Mike Adams from Natural News because it's composed of nearly 50% chlorella, spirulina, kelp, and dulse. It also is high in naturally occurring iodine, which is just so good for the entire body. Give them a call today at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or visit them on the web at innerfood.com, E-N-E-R-food.com. Continuing, purewaterfreedom.com. I just love these folks. They've got whole house, tabletops, water bottles that are filters. They've got the whole nine yards. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. All their filters are made in the USA. Check out their banners at prisonplanet.com or infowars.com, or go to purewaterfreedom.com today to take control of your water supply at purewaterfreedom.com. That's one word. Okay, and in closing here with the plugs, remember, the alternative media is financed by your support. The establishment has done everything they can to kill this book, because where there's smoke, there's fire. And this book deals with his entire bizarre background and all of the weirdness and just the, I mean, the tranny nannies, the all the different names, the different daddies. It's now come out that his purported dad, the State Department wanted to get him out of the country because of all the fake marriages and pregnancies and women, and he looks nothing like his father. Dr. Corsi's broken all that down. The book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The Case That Barack Obama Is Not Eligible to Be President. And remember, I'm nonpartisan. I don't like Bush. I don't like Obama. I don't like any of these New World Order corporate front men. The point is, this guy's got something he's hiding, and he's got that snake coiled up around him with this whole con on the public with Donald, the Donald Trump. So I hope you get the book, Where's the Birth Certificate, at Infowars.com, and check out all the other books and videos we carry and the films that I produce. You can also call us toll free to get it, 888-253-3139. Now, before you answer my big question, because I want to recap it for folks that just joined us, Dr. Corsi, where are you guys at WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah? Where is WND.com with the economic warfare attack that the White House mouthpiece Esquire put out, saying the book had been recalled, Farah had said it was all lies and discredited, and that everybody should send their books back and you'd give them their retail price back that would bankrupt you guys, to try to create a run on the bookstores of people demanding their money back so they pull the book? How badly economically has it hurt you guys? I mean, it was a number one New York Times bestseller before it came out. How much damage has this done to the book?
Well, I think, first of all, the attack was vicious by Esquire, and it was intended to destroy the marketing of the book in the first hours. Esquire later said it's satire, and it wasn't very funny. And certainly didn't appear as satire. It appeared as a news story, and you could reasonably read it and have been fooled by it. Some radio hosts that interviewed me were fooled by it and started out their interviews asking why we pulled the book. Look, World of Daily is going to sue Esquire. Joseph Harris announced that. So the economic damage had to have been important and severe. Certainly the intent to damage was important and severe. World of Daily will do just fine. The book is selling, but we had to scramble very hard to reestablish the market and to reassure distributors that the book had not been pulled. The book is alive and well. It's out there everywhere in bookstores. All the electronic outlets are selling the book. It's still rated on Amazon.com. Take a look. It's out active all through the market. And it was a vicious attack by Esquire aimed at, I guess, projecting what the White House wanted to believe what was true. I think the White House hoped the book would be withdrawn, but I published this book with Joseph Farah because I knew he had the courage to keep the book out there. A mainstream media publisher, one of the big publishing houses, that I published with big publishing houses before, the White House might have intimidated them by calling up and, threatening not to give them access to authors or whatever to get a major publishing house to withdraw the book. But this case, I knew that there was no chance it would happen. Joseph Farah was as resolute as I am that the book is true. We still want to know where the birth certificate is, and we're taking every possible step to demonstrate Obama was not born in Hawaii. He was born in Kenya. I'm convinced of that now. And here you've got a situation where the birth certificate released by the White House is a fraudulent document, which means criminal fraud was committed in the White House. President Obama is personally identified in the chain of evidence, that he sent his lawyer out to get this document. President Obama showed up in the White House press room to say, here the document is. He's directly involved in the chain of evidence. And the White House, the future of the Obama presidency, will depend on that document remaining authentic if it's proved, as I believe it will be, that the document's fraudulent. It's hard to see how the Obama administration will remain in office.
Well, this is only getting bigger, and people don't buy anything that the White House puts out there. And I know you're under such attack, Jerome, but you normally will tell folks what your dead reckoning says. But isn't it suspicious that right on the heels of them with the stunt birth certificate that is as phony as a $3 bill, and you're coming out with the evidence and going to file these criminal charges, that then magically they kill Osama bin Laden, but then the helicopter blows up, and eyewitnesses in Pakistan on national Pakistani TV say the SEALs got on the helicopter and it blew up, that it didn't blow up once on the ground. It blew up as they took off. I mean, that's this whole thing. You can just see the scripting and the White House lying, saying they were in the Situation Room watching the raid, Hillary covering her mouth. They admit that was fake. They admit bin Laden didn't fight back, didn't use his wife, throw the body in the sea. Within minutes, they said, we have the DNA proof. It takes days to do it. I mean, Doc, do you not have some suspicions there? You're not going to cross that bridge.
Well, I just haven't gone into the OBL situation. I've got my hands full with the birth certificate issue. But, you know, what I'm going to comment on is that here for 3 years, Obama spent a couple million dollars with lawyers. He even moved his lawyer from Perkins Coie into the White House to be his White House counsel. And that, to me, is very suspicious, fighting the release of this birth certificate. And then a book is going to be published. So if this document was available 3 years ago, why did we have to go through all this nonsense about the certification of live birth and the short form? That attorney Robert Bauer, together with Anita Dunn, his wife, it was the attack dog against Fox and any other media that dared to raise questions about the Obama administration. They're now paid by the White House. Anita Dunn is gone. Bauer's still there under the government payroll defending Obama in eligibility cases. And suddenly this document miraculously appears, long-form birth certificate, that Abercrombie, the governor in Hawaii, said wasn't there about 6 weeks ago. He couldn't find it. Well, that's where, to go to the comment you asked about, Alex, before the break, I got a call from one of my top intelligence sources in Hawaii that warned me that the document had been forged and inserted into the logbook in Hawaii. In fact, a person who was very connected in the department went in, related to the department, let's say didn't work for the department, but a source that they buried to the department, went in and read us the document.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
This is such a big deal that I want to put the question back out there. And I'm not like the type of talk show host unless I really am, shocked, but I already knew about this info, so I'm not shocked. I've already, had the revelation. Now listen up. This is big. Folks, understand the magnitude of this. But all of that is a prerequisite here. You're somebody who's always very careful about what you say and do, going back for decades. You're somebody who really does do the research. You're coming out saying there's no doubt it's fraudulent. You're going forward saying you're going to attempt to file criminal charges on this. And you revealed here for the first time last week that you have a source who 3 weeks before the president went public went in, was able to see it, and said it wasn't there before. Your source inside, your mole, it's been added now. You have the emails with Farah proving that these discussions went on. You can't give up the source, but you've got the proof with your Farah emails. And Farah says, what do we do? And you say, let's go ahead with it. This is exactly what we want, Joe. We've got him now. Now, I'm paraphrasing what you said last week. Take your time. Walk through exactly what happened 3 weeks before Obama released the latest long-form, supposed, final real birth certificate, and what the new intelligence source, the new information that the intelligence source is giving you. Because, folks, I mean, what Dr. Corsi's saying here, you know, they could have a grand jury come after him. He could be pulled into court. He could be forced to release this. He wouldn't be doing this right now if this wasn't true and going on. So I hope you understand, we're now entering the realm of total proof, not just that he fought it for 3 years with 2 million, moved the lawyer into the White House who was fighting it, stonewalling, saying with his operatives, Mr. Maddow and Mr. Slimeball, that this is the birth certificate 2.5 years ago. I mean, just desperate activity on their side. The thing stinks to high heaven. The Republic of Kenya classified document release that, yes, the Obama records have criminally been removed. There's evidence he was born in Mombasa. I mean, here it is. He's releasing it. Of course, he wouldn't be doing this now if he didn't 100% think he had the bona fides. So slowly go over your mole inside as much as you can give us. And when are you going to have Farah come out and substantiate this verbally, swear to it publicly? I believe you. You wouldn't be doing this.
I did even more than that. I'll give you the exact chronology. It was just before February 24th. I got a call from my source in Hawaii and said that someone had gone into the logbook, a very trusted bull, and the long-form birth certificate for Obama had suddenly appeared and was inserted in the book. Read it enough to know that Kapiolani Hospital was identified as the hospital. Knew a doctor was listed, didn't have time or was too scared to get the name of the doctor. Now, on February 24th, I'm looking at it right now, I drafted an article. It's date-stamped February 24th at my computer. I could send it to you, Alex, as proof. The article was written, says, WND warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth records. And this is February 24th. It's date-stamped this way in my Microsoft Word file.
So you even wrote a story that you didn't release.
We didn't. We decided not to release it because we hoped the White House would release this document. See, we named the book Where's the Birth Certificate to try to frighten the White House. I knew the White House could not tolerate if anybody read this book. People read this book, Obama.
And their hopes that they had released it was falling through, and so you forced them out in the open.
Yeah, and I knew that Joseph said, we're not going to publish this story, tipping them off that we know a fake document has now been created. Let's get them to release the document.
You've got to release that original story.
I'll send it to you. It's date stamped February 24th. You can see in the log to this, I created the story on February 24th.
Okay, but I don't want to publish it first if it's WorldNet.
You can publish it first. If you want to, I'll talk to Joseph. Maybe we can do a story on it immediately, but
You see my point. The fact that that's the proof,
yes,
that you knew this was going on before it happened. Man, this is big.
The paragraph of the story is WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records that WND knows it has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. We had information that will prove the forgery. See, even when I wrote this February 24th...
Unbelievable.
I knew they were going to release it, and I knew we could prove it was a forgery.
Unbelievable.
And we didn't publish this article because we didn't want to tip off the White House that we knew they were going to release the fraudulent document that we could prove it was a forgery. I'll send you the article.
Well, we need to... Absolutely. If you send it to us, I'll have one of my writers do a report on it right now, and then you can follow up or vice versa. I don't care. But for me, and I'm asking if you agree, Dr. Corsi, that is such incredible proof that you had the intel inside and that you knew it was coming just a few weeks before and had this article ready.
I want to read you these two paragraphs quickly. WorldNet Daily's confidential source further warned that any fraudulent Obama birth records originating in Hawaii will be sufficiently expert that the forgery can only be detected by forensic examination of the original, possibly not from digitized copies or photographs circulated of the forgery on the Internet. It turned out that the forgery was much poorer than we thought it would be, and we have enough, even with the digitized copy the White House released on its website, to prove it's a forgery. The next paragraph, WorldNet Daily cannot release the identity of the confidential source without risking the person's life.
Unbelievable. Now, a again, read is for those that have not seen the unpublished report that you had ready, but Farah and you decided not to release so that you could catch them with their pants down. Read us that headline and as much of the story as you can to us.
The headline said, WorldNet Daily warned to block possible future release of fraudulent Obama birth records. And WorldNet Daily has been warned that certain government officials in Hawaii have been contemplating releasing fraudulent Obama birth records, and that WorldNet Daily has in its possession information that will be able to prove the forgery. According to a top-level WorldNet Daily confidential source with access to officials within the Hawaiian government, the long-form birth certificates issued to the Nordyke twins one day after the Barack Obama was born create a barrier for anyone attempting to produce the fraudulent long-form Kapiolani hospital-generated birth certificate for Obama. What I'm referring to there is we knew that they were going to continue the document as 10641, and which was registered August 8th. 3 days later, the Nordyke twins were registered August 11th. They were 10637 and 10638. From the time of the certificate of live birth, the forger picked the wrong number. They've been locked into that to the beginning. And what my source in Hawaii said is, press the Nordyke numbers, because that shows that anything fraudulent that the Obama administration releases is the long-form birth certificate. As long as it's got the original 10641 on it, it's a fraudulent document.
For those that don't know, that was a big old-fashioned numbering machine.
One of those Bates automatic machines that incremented by one. And I have the 1955 article from Charles Bennett, who was the guy who created, he was the Register General of Hawaii's Department of Health. He created the system of birth certificates. The article specifies that the birth certificates were numbered immediately after. Now, the Registrar General stamped it. It went into the books with the number he stamped. And it's impossible for a birth certificate that was registered 3 days earlier to have a higher number as a birth certificate than birth certificates registered 3 days later.
Well, I'm just speechless right now. And not only did you write this 3 weeks before Obama released the birth certificate, you called everything in the article that was unpublished. What happened? This is incredible.
We had the document read to us from within the vault in Hawaii. The person went in and read the article, and we knew what it was on the document because it was read to it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the absolute key. Your same mole previously had said it's not there, but now they call
That's
you
right.
and they go, suddenly it's there.
That's right. We've been told when Abercrombie was looking that it didn't exist, and then it suddenly existed.
And that's confirmed by Abercrombie, thinking he's off record with the reporter who kept the recorder going and just added it as a footnote in his article that Abercrombie said, yeah, we thought it'd be there. It's not.
And I think this is equally important to what we've released. You've got the Kenyan documents there, Kenyan government stationery. Grandma Sarah has been saying for years Obama was born in Kenya. The Kenyan government took it seriously. Kenyan government determined 1961 birth records in Kenya were criminally altered so as to erase Barack Obama's birth certificate record and to disguise the fact that they'd ever been there.
Well, I'm going to say this.
They reported, you've got the second document. The Kenyan government even told that to Ranenberger, our ambassador in Kenya under George W. Bush, was inquiring about Obama's birth certificate. George Bush administration had reason to think Obama was born in Kenya.